This is Digital Story Podcast number 704, September 10th, 2019. Today's theme is my six favorite digital cameras of all time. I'm Derek Story. In the early days of digital photography, the medium seemed almost too good to be true. You didn't have to buy film. There was no processing lab, and you could shoot as long as your batteries lasted. And the cameras that came along the way have been equally remarkable. And over the last 20 years, six in particular stand out for me. I'll tell you which ones and why on today's TDS Photography Podcast. Okay, so I tried to whittle this list down to five, but I just couldn't. And it was tough to get it down to six, as it was. I mean, really, I could be up around eight or nine, although I feel very good about the six that are in this list. So maybe we'll just look at it as five plus one great cameras of all time, okay? And we're talking about digital cameras. Now, if I did film cameras, that would be a whole nother list, and I would probably have just a harder time keeping it to five. Maybe it'd be five plus one there as well. Who knows? Anyway, I have six great cameras. Some of them I'm sure you're familiar with. And let's dig right in right now. The very first camera that blew my mind was the groundbreaking Canon EOS 10D. And it was released in 2003. And the real thing about it was, for less than $2,000, you could get it for about $1,900. It was an interchangeable lens DSLR, 6.3 megapixel sensor. It felt really good in the hand. It had a super comfortable grip, had a magnesium alloy body. And I was just thrilled because for the first time ever since the digital wave had begun, I could afford a semi-pro DSLR. And I just loved the heck out of that camera. You know, the 10D, it looked like a DSLR should look. it had the right balance. It had the right design. 6.3 megapixels in those days in 2003 was quite decent. It was an APS-C sensor. It wasn't a full-frame sensor. We'll get to that in a minute. And it was interesting because it was released actually before Canon fully developed their EFS lenses, which wouldn't work on this camera once they did come out. This camera took only EF lenses. So it took only full frame lenses, even though it was an APS-C sensor. Took very good shots. It was very reliable. It was a handsome camera. But the big thing about it was that it was less than $2,000, and this was news in 2003. This was a big deal, and a lot of us, for the first time, could have a real digital camera, and this is the camera that really moved me from film into digital for work, not just for playing around. I'll never forget the 10D. I loved it. I did sell it. I did let it go years back, but forever in my memory. Then, just 2 years later, in 2005, Canon released the full-frame Canon EOS 5D. And this was the camera that I used while working at the Beijing Olympics. This is the camera that I had with me on my first trip to Iceland. And in fact, this is the camera that I traveled all over the world with. And that was the thing about the 5D. The very first 5D was that I had a full frame sensor using EF lenses, but the size of the camera was very manageable compared to the other cameras that had similar specs. So it was, for a DSLR, for a full frame DSLR in its day, which was 2005, it was quite compact and very, you know, easy to take all over the place, which I did. Now, it was more expensive than that, you know, $1,900 10D. I had to pony up about $3,200 in 2005 for the 5D. But I really felt like it was worth it. And compared to the competition, you know, it was relatively affordable. Now, the sensor was 12.8 megapixels, which at the time seemed just quite nice. I was very happy with it. In retrospect, it seems, you know, a little like I'd want a little bit more resolution with it. And ultimately, the reason why I sold the 5D for the 5D Mark II was to get more resolution. I wanted something a little bit more than that 12.8 megapixel sensor. But I tell you, this camera was a great camera. It was my first full-frame digital camera. I used the heck out of it, traveled all over the place with it, and then sold it for a great price. I mean, what is not to love about this camera? I'll never forget it. The Canon EOS 5D, a groundbreaking camera for sure for me. In 2008, Nikon released the D700, which was also a 12 megapixel full-frame DSLR. It was 12.1 megapixel, I believe. And that is a camera that I use to this day. So I still have the D700. I tell you, I think the D700 is a stunning camera. The color that it captures is as beautiful as any camera that I've used. The meter is amazing. But the thing that really floors me about this camera is that I can use practically any F-mount lens on this digital body. So, for example, the famous Nikon 105mm portrait lens works fantastic on the D700. And in fact, it even has, you know, CPU registration so that I can register that lens, and so that in the metadata, I can see that I shot with a Nikon 105mm telephoto. So I use all sorts of lenses on this camera. I use the Nikkor 50mm, I use the 28mm, use the 105, I use the Series E100 on it, I use the Series E35mm f2.5 on it, and then of course, I use the beautiful Nikon 50mm AF on there, and I have a Nikon 28mm AF that I use with it. So I just feel like I can use any lens that I want. And one of the reasons why I like the D700 so much for the work that I'm doing right now is that I shoot a lot of Nikon 35mm film cameras. And so let's say that I'm doing a portrait shoot, and let's say that I'm shooting with the FA, the Nikon FA, which is a terrific film camera. It would make my list for five favorite film cameras of all time. Well, I can shoot a roll of film with it, and then I can take that same lens, put it on the D700, you know, shoot a dozen or so shots with it, and have digital versions of what I did with the film, but they're great digital versions. Same perspective, same everything as what I did with the film. So I just think to this day, the D700 is a wildly useful camera for me. It has so many features. I could spend a whole podcast on its innovative and, you know, very useful professional features. And it's just beautiful to hold. It feels great in the hand. So it definitely makes my list of my favorite all-time digital cameras, the Nikon D700. It is absolutely stunning. Then there was a period where I just sort of felt like there wasn't a whole lot of innovation that was appealing to me. Mirrorless did start to make the scene, and of course I embraced mirrorless right away from the, you know, from the original pen that Olympus came out with. The DSLRs, you know, they were, you know, interesting, but not that interesting for me. I mean, after the 5D Mark II on the Canon side, the Mark III, the Mark IV, they didn't do a whole lot for me. The Nikons, you know, were good, But you know, I really loved the D700 so much. Nothing was really pulling me away there. So I felt like there was this little bit of period where I was just, you know, standing pat with what I had. You know, the cameras that I had were serving me well. And I was probably focusing a bit more on lenses and workflow and things like that. Then, however, in 2016, things really started to change, and it went boom, boom, boom for me. The first eye-opener was the Pen F. In March 2016, Olympus released the Pen F, and this is a classic digital camera for the ages. This is one digital that I will never part with. I will never let go of my Pen F. And if it stops working and I can't repair it, then I'll just put it on the shelf and look at it. I absolutely adore this camera. It is machined to perfection. And the images that it produces are outstanding. And then on top of all of that, it is creative. It is a creative camera. I can shoot beautiful monotones with it. It has that creative dial in the front where I can easily switch from, let's say, a Tri-X monotone to a Kodachrome color shot, to a dramatic filter shot. I mean, and I just go boop, 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 you know. I don't have to go through the menus. I don't have to do anything. The dials on this camera are fantastic. You know, one change that I made, it had the exposure dial more like Fujifilm style instead of having the collar around the shutter button, but because it's an Olympus and because you can configure it just about any way that you want, you can reverse those. So I reversed it so that the collar around the shutter button is my regular exposure compensation, and then that nice little Fujifilm plus one, plus two, plus three dial, I use that for flash exposure compensation. You know, again, this is just the kind of stuff that Olympus gives you. So the Pen F, to me, is a classic digital camera for the ages. And what's interesting is it's discontinued now, and I doubt they'll ever produce a Mark II for this camera, but there are still some new ones available. And in fact, I just checked on B&H. I put a link in the show notes. I just checked on B&H, and you can get a brand new black Pen F for $999. And I tell you, I don't know how many they have in stock or how long that will last, but I have a link in the show notes to it. If you want one for the ages, I tell you, this camera is a terrific camera, not only for using it right now. It has a 20 megapixel sensor. You know, it has fantastic built-in image stabilization. It has a LCD that flips out. It has a beautiful electronic viewfinder that is just, you know, lovely. I mean, it has everything that you would want. I use it all the time. It's the one I carry in my backpack right now. But it's also one for the ages. Right on the heels of the Pen F, in October of 2016, we saw the OMD EM1 Mark II. And in my mind, this camera, the EM1 Mark II, really marked the coming of age of Micro Four Thirds. It is the first Micro Four Thirds camera that I can use professionally, and I do today. I mean, I put the pro lenses on there, and I take it to a photo shoot for hire, and I am so trusting of this camera that's going to deliver the results that I want, and it does time and time again. For $1,500, you get a compact, durable, feels really great in the hand, weather resistant, fast operating, twin slot, 20 megapixel camera that accepts a huge catalog of lenses ranging from the amazing 40 to 150 f/2.8 Pro zoom, which I think is one of the best lenses I've ever had, to a small Panasonic 20 millimeter f/1.7 pancake. In other words, you can make this camera be anything that you want at the moment you need it to be, whatever that is you want it to be. You know, you can be a easy to carry around compact with a pancake lens on there, or it can be a very professional camera with a longer lens on there. And because it has that grip, the longer lenses balance very well on it. This is the camera that I think made Micro Four Thirds totally legit to use basically in any arena that you want. It performs so well. And then they've had a series of firmware updates with it. So it's a better camera now than what came out in October of 2016. So Olympus has done an amazing job with this camera. I don't even know what the Mark III is going to look like, but I have to tell you, I would not think twice about plucking down $1,500 to buy another Mark II today with total confidence that I would be able to use it for years to come. And finally, number six, and this came out in 2017, Pentax, yes, Pentax, released the Pentax KP DSLR. And this is a 24 megapixel APS-C, and it's a compact DSLR. It has outstanding sensor-based image stabilization, just like the EM1. I can use basically all of my Pentax lenses on it, just like I can use basically all my Nikon F lenses on the D700. And I think this is part of the appeal to me with the KP, is that huge catalog of Pentax lenses that are on the aftermarket that you can get for a very good price and that perform really, really well. But beyond that, it gives me a modern camera with an optical viewfinder, which I want. It gives me, as I mentioned earlier, that sensor-based image stabilization, so any lens that I put on there is stabilized. It has a very nice tilting LCD. It has all sorts of features. It feels a little bit to me like a mirrorless camera in the sense that it has all those wild features, interferometer, all that kind of stuff that we're used to seeing on our mirrorless cameras, the innovation we see on mirrorless cameras, but I have it on a DSLR with an optical viewfinder. It has the interchangeable grips on the right side, so I could go for a big grip, a medium grip, or a small grip, and again, configure this camera the way that I want. I can put the Pentax autofocus 40mm f2.8 pancake on there, and this is a cool little lens. Pentax shooters know all about it, but the rest of you may not. It's a cool little pancake lens with the small grip on the KP, and have something that is not that much bigger than my Olympus EM1 Mark II mirrorless camera. In other words, I can take this thing practically anywhere. It is weather resistant, it's water resistant. It's tough. I've dropped it on some hard surfaces and just had the air get sucked out of my lungs as a result. And I dust it off and it just keeps on shooting. No damage whatsoever to the inside. It is a tough little guy. I have a cool little Metz flash that I use with it. And I shoot a lot of events with this camera because I love, love, love. And one of the reasons why I bought this camera, I love the Pentax HD 20 to 40 millimeter f2.8-4 lens. If you've ever seen that lens, you probably know why I love it. It's beautiful. It is just a cool lens. So you're carrying around basically a 30 to 60 millimeter zoom, which sounds like an odd range, but what it does is it's wide enough so that I can do, you know, the shots that need a little bit of width. And it's got just enough reach for event work, and it forces me to, you know, get in close. It forces me not to stand back too far and get right in the mix and get those shots. The color with the Pentax, absolutely beautiful. Pentax shooters know this already. So I like the lenses. I love the camera. It is a DSLR. You know, it's the only DSLR that I use for work. Like I said, I have the D700 still. That stays in the studio, and it's more for my personal projects, my art projects. But I use the KP for work. It and the EM1 Mark II are my two workhorse cameras. And it's funny, all the years I've been shooting digital cameras, three of my six are cameras that are more or less current right now. It's sort of funny, when I'm out in the field, people will comment on the Pen F, and they'll ask me if I'm shooting film. People will comment on the EM1 Mark II and ask me, is that a mirrorless camera or what is that? And then on the Pentax, they'll go, are you shooting Pentax? It's so funny. So funny. So those are my six. Those are my six favorite digital cameras of all time, going from most current backwards, Pentax KP. Absolutely love that camera. Olympus OMD EM1 Mark II. It made mirrorless legit. The Pen-F, which is a classic camera for the ages. And then the Nikon D700. I'll never part with that one either. And then the Canon EOS 5D, my first full-frame digital camera that I traveled the world with. And then the Canon EOS 10D back in 2003 that made me a digital photographer. I love all these cameras, and I just thought that you would enjoy me sharing a little bit about them with you. For those of you interested in podcasting and what goes on behind the scenes, or if you're interested in maybe starting your own podcast, podcast is definitely coming of age, and I'm happy about that. Lots of competition out there for me, but I like seeing more people listening to podcasts. If you want to learn how to make a podcast from start to finish, everything from the recording hardware to the editing software, you know, all the way through the storytelling techniques, into the RSS feeds, into getting your show on Apple Podcasts, adding music to your show and where to get it, all that stuff, including the ins and outs of advertising and sponsorships, then you should sign up for my course coming up on October 12th or November 9th, my Podcasting Skills course. It's an online course. It's on a Saturday. The course will run, most of the day. I'm recording all of the modules, and I'm breaking it up into modules. And then those who sign up for the course will receive videos of all the modules. So even if you can't attend the whole course, even if you got stuff going on that day, you can only attend part of it, you will receive or have access to the whole course after it's over. If you're interested, and if you want to sign up for it, all you have to do is go over to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you'll see the two course options right there. I also have a link to it in the show notes. Again, October 12th, November 9th. If you want to learn all the stuff you need to know for podcasting, join me on one of those days. I think you'll have a great time. Scientists who took the first picture of a black hole are awarded with a $3 million prize. And this article is from Petapixel. I have a link to the full article in the show notes. Here's what they say. The world's first photo of a black hole revealed past April was the result of years of collaboration between 347 astronomers from around the world. Today, those astronomers get to figure out how to split $3 million in prize money for their hard work. In case you missed the news in April, an international consortium of over 300 astronomers were able to achieve something previously believed to be impossible. They captured a photograph of a black hole using a planet-scale array of 8 ground-based telescopes. And now they're being awarded the Breakthrough Prize in Fundamental Physics, sometimes called the Oscar of Science, and $3 million in prize money to split between them. And I just think that, this is amazing. I never thought I would see a picture of a black hole in my lifetime. And there were moments where I even questioned if they really existed. But now I believe that they do. By the way, I did a little bit of math, so I divided that $3 million by 347, which is the number of astronomers who participated in this, and it works out to be $8,645 each, which, after I do the math, doesn't seem like that much for being the dudes and dudettes that photographed a black hole. That's the way it works out. Seems like a $10 million prize would be better. But anyway, congratulations to all 347 of them. That was quite a feat. I have a note about LinkedIn Learning. And a few weeks ago, I talked about how those of you who have followed me on lynda.com, followed my trainings and the trainings of my co-instructors, now the transition is underway to move that library from lynda.com over to LinkedIn Learning. At the moment, LinkedIn is running mirror sites. In other words, if I release a new training, like I'm working on one right now, it'll come out a little bit later this year. When I release it, it will be on lynda.com and it will be on LinkedIn Learning. They'll be in both places. But at some point, lynda.com is going to go away. So I was talking about this, and on Facebook, one of our Virtual Camera Club members, an Inner Circle member as well, Harold, wrote, and I'll just read you what he said, "After hearing your comments on the transition from lynda.com to be included in LinkedIn Learning, I went there where one free month was offered. I then went to lynda.com. On that website, there is a link to migrate, and it too included adding one free month, and all my saved programs moved over as well. Just a FYI for you and your fans." Thank you for sharing that, Harold. That is really good to know. I actually didn't know that. So if you haven't been using LinkedIn Learning or Lynda, there's a link in the show notes, and you can just click on it to start your 30-day free trial, and just go over there and watch like mad for 30 days. It won't cost you anything. If you're already a member or a subscriber to lynda.com, you can do what Harold said and migrate, you know, over to LinkedIn Learning. By the way, there are more titles on LinkedIn Learning, especially of the business nature. And I have a number of titles on both. I have, you know, Photos for Mac OS. I have, you know, Capture One Pro. I have Luminar. I have all sorts of stuff over there. How to do high school senior portraits. So go over there, take a look, sign up for your 30-day free trial, learn something new, and improve your skills. I have just a little bit of a Virtual Camera Club news. First of all, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the ones that support this show month in and month out. They're the ones that keep the servers humming, the lights on, and the new projects flowing. Our Inner Circle members are vital to this podcast. If you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member yourself, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. That'll take you over to our Inner Circle site. You can nose around. You can see the posts there. You can get a feel for what's going on, and possibly you might sign up and become an Inner Circle member yourself. And a big thanks to all the folks who are currently supporting the show. I so appreciate it. I have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you're going to buy something like that Pen-F I talked about, or let's say you get moved to buy that Pentax KP I discussed, if you would click on the B&H tile first or the Amazon tile first. By the way, when I talk about these things, I also have links in the show notes, and those links will also take you directly to those pages as well. So you can use either the links, or you can just click on the tile for general stuff. Once you click on the tile, it'll take you over to a specials page. Just navigate to where you want to go. By doing that, you help support the site, and I appreciate it very much. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the place for all of your inkjet printing needs. They have everything from card stocks to fine art print stocks, museum quality stuff, acid free, tutorials, product reviews. You can get ink there if you have an Epson or Canon printer. Really, if you're thinking printing, all you need to do is remember Red River Paper. Click on the tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take you over to our landing page there. There's usually a special offer. And also remember, they are on Facebook at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A huge thanks to them, our longest running sponsor. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm so glad you're able to join me. I hope you enjoyed my six favorite digital cameras of all time. I'm working on some great stories for next week. Come back and join me on Tuesday. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.